this is going to be one of those headlines. I reckon he could be the AFL's most sookie player. Dane Zorko is a brilliant player, right? But this sort of stuff brings him down. Scott Thompson from North Melbourne got caught up in the niggle, which sort of affected his reputation and brand, and he changed his game a little bit. I reckon it's time that Dane Zorko did the same thing.
Hello and welcome to the Round 22 Super Footy Podcast, a round with more twists and permutations, Jay, than a Def Leppard convention. Melbourne have made it into the eight, at least we think they have. Maybe a mathematical chance if Port beat Essendon by 250 points and they lose. But I think they're in. First time since 1941, Richmond and Melbourne will be in the same final series, and the first time, of course, for the D since 2006, Jake.
And what a great story, Mick, because this football club was under pressure, a lot of question marks about their mental fragility, but they belted West Coast in the engine room.
The contested ball.
And as we flagged last week, Mick, and I got a bit of Twitter feedback about this, I think the Eagles could bow out this September in straight sets, but more about that later.
Right? G'day, Lauren.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Great to be back with you. Another cracking weekend of footy. It's been a few good ones in a row we've had now, haven't we been lucky?
Yes.
But if there's one demon I could not be happier for at this point in time, a good Peninsula lad, just like you,
Nathan
Mick. Nathan Jones.
Couldn't
be happier for him. He's been through the mire with that club. Saw him wandering through the Melbourne Cafe a few days ago with one hell of a shiner. So he's been beaten from pillar to post, but couldn't be happier for him.
I've got a theory for you, Lauren. I wonder if Melbourne, and this will rankle some, but I wonder whether Melbourne is better without Jesse Hogan. I know we make a lot about this bloke, right, and how good he is, you know, marking forward, all that sort of stuff, a bit grumpy at times. I just wonder whether their forward line is a bit more unpredictable. And all that talk
about
Melbourne trading Jesse Hogan. So if they can get one or two first-round picks for him, I reckon that's not such a bad deal, because when he doesn't play, They kick goals.
Well,
anyway, it's early in the podcast.
You thought there'd have been Twitter feedback last week. I'd be tipping your feed might go off after
he's
that
not
one, Jay.
The be all and end all.
He isn't, and that's the great thing about what Melbourne's been able to do this year. I know there were questions when they threw Tom McDonald down there. You know, do we use Sam Wiedemann? All these different players that they're rotating through. But as you said, I think there was maybe a school of thought there a little while ago that Jesse was the be all and end all. And it's this flexibility and look what they've been able to do.
Strong theory, Mick.
It was a very strong theory. It was a great win by the D's. So Jack Darling went down. That didn't help.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on with your crystal balling, Jay? Can Melbourne finish? Where's Collingwood finish?
Well, what's going to happen next week? I've done the finals permutations, and that is based on Sydney beating Hawthorn at home,
which
at the
no
SCG.
Given.
On form, you would have to say the Swans have got it over the Hawks.
You would? Hawthorn does have a great record at the SCG.
Yes,
just saying.
You don't.
I know, but
Sicily back?
Yeah, should. Well, I think he's hoping to be. I heard him interviewed on Saturday night, hoping to be.
All right.
Crawley question
chance.
Mark.
Crawley's
anyway,
back.
Yep. Let's say the Swans beat the Hawks, okay? Because that's important. Collingwood beat Fremantle. West Coast beat Brisbane. So I've got first round finals, and this is going to deliver three finals at the MCG, folks. So stand by. Thursday night. Ready? No, Etihad.
Good.
Thursday night, I got Blockbuster Thursday night, West Coast hosting Collingwood over there in Perth.
Ooh.
Put it in your diary. On the Saturday night, I got Richmond hosting Sydney. Friday night, Richmond hosting Sydney. MCG Blockbuster 70,000 plus, you would imagine.
Buddy at the G.
95.
Buddy at the G.
Really? Oh, absolutely. South Melbourne supporters in Richmond.
Do they travel?
They live in South Melbourne.
Okay.
They don't have to travel.
They travel on a tram.
Right. Forget the Saturday afternoon game, folks. Go to your junior sport. Do your shopping or whatever you got to do, because get down in your lounge room on Saturday night.
Local footy finals.
Because, all that sort of stuff. Exactly, because that is when Hawthorn is going to host GWS. Should that be at Etihad? No. MCG.
Yes.
60,000 people, Hawthorn fans. Make sure you rock up. And then Sunday. This is the most intriguing game of the first round finals, if you ask me. It's Melbourne hosting 8th placed Geelong.
Wow.
Gary Ablett versus young Clayton Oliver. All of that. Oh,
okay. Well, a lot would actually have to fall into place for your theories.
Well, it's all just Sydney beating Hawthorn.
No,
Sydney beat Hawthorn, that's it.
If Collingwood could lose, they could finish 6th.
Mate, Fremantle got belted by 130 points.
If Giants
points,
beat
Mick.
Melbourne, they might play each other 2 times in a row. But anyway, it's all good fodder. Right. Collingwood, however, did look very impressive, Lauren, beating Port by 51 points. I'd have to say that Port's Cameron Ling said today that their trades have proven as busts, given the way they've missed the 8. potentially.
There were big hopes for them, weren't there?
Yes.
There were big hopes.
Watts, Motlop, Rockcliffe. But let's talk about the Pies. They're in. Outstanding.
They were absolutely outstanding. I've been practicing my goal celebration all day.
What is that?
I've looked at the photos in the Herald Sun, the Sunday Herald Sun. I read Eliza Sewell's story explaining the Tottenham Hotspur player that they drew a little bit of inspiration from. And I can't get it right. I can't get my thumb and my finger in the right spot and the three fingers on the forehead. But they're absolutely loving the way that things are going at Collingwood.
They're a little bit pulling that rubbish out against Richmond in a final. I don't think so.
It just goes to show, though. Look at what Richmond did last year, and I think looking from the outside in, what Collingwood has tried to do this year, Richmond, they allowed themselves to have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, but not
they're all
to that
mates.
Extent.
I thought it was great fun, and on the back of a fantastic performance. Any worry about Jordan Dugowie? I understand he had a little bit of ice. I think it was a calf. Am I making this up? Jay's slightly
nodding. There was some ice there.
Later in the day, but hopefully he's all good because I love watching him play.
Can Treloar get back, Jay?
Possibly first round of finals if everything goes right. I reckon more likely second round finals. So that week before the finals will help him. But I reckon if he can get a VFL game or 80 minutes of match practice, you know, potentially first round finals at a stretch, but more likely second round finals.
All right. Well, look, I don't want to be rain on the parade, but they have only beaten one team in the top eight for the entire 22 rounds so far. Colleen, well, it matters to me.
It does. Well, I know it matters to you, but you only have to beat them in 1 month.
In terms of
year.
Form.
Yeah.
So I'd like just to mention that. But Eddie Maguire, I think he was on AW on Saturday, did concede that his starting point with the Buckley reappointment was he's gone, and let's come up with reasons to keep him. So credit to the Pies for sticking with Bucks as they're going to play finals.
Makeshift defence has been the big story here. They've lost Lyndon Dunn, Jeremy Howe for the past month, Matthew Schoenberg for the past knee. You've got to give them credit for being able to shape this back line into something that that can stop forward lines. Kenneka all the way, that's probably the big question mark confronting Collingwood.
Well, I'm with you, Lauren. The connection side of it is where they've turned it around. Now, let's talk about priority picks, because Luke Beveridge has just finished his press conference, and he said, and he's not the lone ranger here, but he's the first coach to say that they would be very disappointed if the AFL, the world governing body of our game, decided to give priority picks, not at the end of the first round, but at the start or in the middle. And I'm with him.
Yeah, I think it's being discussed. I don't think
it
will
happen.
It's a kite
flying exercise.
Well, Gold Coast would obviously be keen on some more top five talent. There's no doubt about that.
So to waste.
They're pushing that, right? But what I think is more likely is priority picks being granted for teams who don't play finals for, say, 3, 4, or 5 years, Lauren. Let's just say 4 years for the argument's sake. So teams like Brisbane, Collingwood, Gold Coast, Carlton.
Okay. St Kilda.
They're the four who haven't played finals for the past 4 years. They would get a pick wedged in between 10 and 20, depending on their finals, their ladder position. And that, to me, is perfect.
It is something that you would announce at the start of the year, not rules on the run with a week to go. Absolute garbage to be inventing rules like this before the draft. We've had 10 years of compromised drafts with the Gold Coast Suns and the Giants, who've had a good build. And now you're telling me you're going to introduce this crap 5 weeks out from the draft.
Well,
give me a spell.
It's probably more likely for the following year. Well, Gold Coast are on their knees, Mick. Do we want them to be competitive or not?
Yes, and we want accountability to come with it. So if the AFL want to give emergency assistance on with Grant Thomas, let's see some resignations, and then we'll give you your draft picks and your cash.
Well, how does it work then? Yeah, talk about Twitter feedback. That might be coming your way, Mick. But so just explain it to me, Jay, just quickly. So when you say wedged between picks 10 and 20, so we're saying, when we say the top 10 picks, so it's effectively the bottom 10 sides, they would have their picks to that point.
Unaffected.
What a joke.
Unaffected.
Yep.
And then it's wedged in at,
so
say,
then,
pick 10, they go again.
Yep. So Carlton, who finished last, obviously, they get the first pick
pick 1 and 11?
Yes, correct.
So we're going to penalise all the clubs in the eight because of the incompetence of A, the AFL at the Gold Coast, and B, Carlton.
I think they're sick of the cyclical repeat perennial high performers.
Well, and you know why? Because they've got the wrong people running those clubs. It's got nothing to do with the talent. So let's start sacking some people, getting some good coaches, getting some good football bosses, good boards, and then we'll turn it around.
Well, that's it. We were saying that last week, weren't we, that it's not supposed to be like this, that Geelong, Hawthorn, Sydney – a stay up for too long, but that's not the fault of the system. It's Clarko and guys like that having the talent to do it. But I think just some clarity on the situation would be good, because from what I've read from you guys and seen on the Twitter machine across the weekend, various AFL people on radio and all that sort of thing, it hasn't quite been confirmed of if they are considering it, if they're not.
They did the ring around on Friday night, said it wasn't happening. And then on Saturday, oh, yes, Steve Hocking says it is. You know what we really need, though, to improve football? An 18-metre goal square. That would be sensational to save our game.
Can I ask you a question, Lauren, as well, right? So if you could buy a $10 million business that makes no money and is performing horribly, but you had to take it over and keep all the current staff, would you?
What do you mean?
Well, I did do a business degree. Here's
a $10 million business, right, which is going as bad as you can possibly imagine, but you pretty much were going to keep all the people who are operating it currently. Would you buy it or not?
Oh, drawing on my lack of business experience, I'm going to probably say no.
What do you reckon, Mick?
Well, I don't understand. Well, tell me what you think.
Well, I think he's saying it could be situated in maybe just near Broadbeach.
In Clubland, right? Well, all these people like Mark Evans and Brennan Bolton, the coach at Carlton, who have to step into these clubs, have to step in with all these current existing staff members.
Yep.
So they go in and they have to now run these clubs with the people.
And the majority of the playing list.
Majority of the playing list who would underperform to that point. Like, if in business land, that would never happen. These people would come in and say, right, well, you are all gone, and I'm going to start again.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Mm. You're all gone, let's start again, and not punish the other clubs with a compromised draft. Let's move on. The Bombers, they're cooked, obviously. They can't make the finals unless, I think you had a scenario where they could, Jay, if they won by 200 points or something.
Well, is it a wasted year?
Well, exactly.
Have they gone backwards? I would have thought they would. I reckon they've underachieved, the Bombers. I look at their list, and I think there's a lot to like. I look at their first 2 months of the season, and they get an F for that. And that has to, you know, that casts a shadow over their whole year. I think the coaching staff next year and the playing list are under pressure to perform to their capacity, their potential, their expectation, because this year they didn't do that.
Yeah, I think they'd be incredibly disappointed. And it was interesting, John Worsfold was asked that question in his post-match of if the season was a failure. And of course he has to say, no, it isn't. We've got development, these younger players, all the rest of it. I mean, they've had a fair share of injuries thrown their way. Joe Danaher, initially it was thought it was going to be a few weeks. We obviously haven't seen him again this season with that groin issue. So obviously you don't plan for things to go that way. But, I mean, to make a final last year, all of the word coming out of Tullamarine was that we've had that experience, we're going to be better for it, we've had a little taste of finals footy and we're determined to be back there again. But you'd have to think that they're extremely disappointed out there right now.
The game plan looked better at the end of the year, didn't it? The pressure,
their offence
was great at the start of the year, but they were falling down defensively. Do you give BJ another contract, Jay?
Oh, look, I think it is looking more and more likely that he will play on elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I think with what Francis has showed in his past couple of weeks.
Jeez, wasn't he good Friday night?
Yeah, and potentially they get Mitch Wallace, maybe Setterfield from GWS. I think Brittingotto would be a good pickup for other clubs such as Gold Coast. And also, and this is a bombshell, but why not Collingwood? So Matthew Schoenberg goes down for a knee, and they need a halfback flanker. At the moment, they're playing a basketballer, Jack Madgen. So who would you rather, Brennan Goddard with 330 games in his belt and for 12 to 15 games, or an untried basketballer? I reckon for Collingwood, Goddard would be a good pickup.
All right, interesting. Yeah. Now, there was an incident in that game with Devin Smith, Lauren. You've been all across the punching stuff. He got a fine. Some thought that wasn't enough.
Yeah, I was quite stunned, I must admit, on Friday night after a few weeks of talking about, it's not even a few weeks of talking about punching. I mean, I feel like we were sitting here this time last year talking about punching in the game, and I was sitting down on level one out in the cold. It's been a pretty cold weekend in Melbourne on Friday night watching Richmond and Essendon, and I thought I was seeing things when Devin Smith took that swing at Camden McIntosh. I thought, rub my eyes a little bit, and you think it's pretty cold, maybe I'm having a bit of a hallucination here, but no, that's exactly what he did, and it was, you know, not quite at the force of Andrew Gaff from a few weeks prior, but If it was 10 centimetres or even 5 centimetres in another direction, he would have absolutely flushed Camden McIntosh right in the jaw. And I think he's counting himself very lucky. I think Sam Edmund wrote the story for the Saturday Herald Sun of that he should go and buy himself a lottery ticket because he's the luckiest man in Melbourne, Devin Smith. He, of course, he was given a $2,500 fine, I think it was. 1,500, yeah. A second offence of attempting to strike, which was an interesting change in terminology from Michael Christian from the week prior. We saw Cale Hooker. There was a pretty damning photo of him. He was attempting to strike, but he was fined under the misconduct provision because he didn't actually make a connection. And Crusoe was, there had to be an impact, was the word from Michael
Devin
Christian.
Did Devin Smith make impact,
did
he?
Striking. No, he didn't. So that was the interesting part in the difference in terminology from Michael Christian attempting to strike. Not rules on the run, a difference in terminology, we're told. So, but it was, I think it was a great thing to see that difference in terminology, to make it known to players that attempting to strike, yes, you will be slammed for it, $1,500 in the hip pocket.
Okay. Now, Geelong were at quarter time, you thought, oh, geez, they're not going that flash. And then a fast forward 23 goals, and they've absolutely smashed Fremantle, who were pathetic.
And did it in third gear, Mick. But I'm more interested in the other side of the coin and where Fremantle is at the moment. I think Ross Lyon had a go at journo Shane Pope for asking about, you know, how this rebuild is looking. They just lost a very good list manager, I think, in Brad Lloyd to Carlton, who's now going to be the Blues football manager. Mm. But I'm just going to spitball this for a second. For the listeners at home or in the car, what do you think about this?
Golf course,
whatever you're doing. If you were Carlton and Brendan Bolton does or doesn't work, and maybe you could include St Kilda in this as well, would you start laying the foundations for a poaching raid, an attempting recruiting coup on Ross Lyon? Because you know in 2 years he's out of contract. He is one of the best coaches game.
Why not do it at the end of this year?
We know he's been subject to a secret move before. I just wouldn't be surprised if in a year or two's time, Ross Lyon is in navy blue.
Boy,
just a gut feel.
The old Malthouse move.
Wow, that would be huge.
I wouldn't do it if I was them.
Why? What's the knock on Ross?
Oh, I think Ross's time's over in terms of...
Finished, is he?
Yeah.
Think his style
his style, and I think kids are different these days. They don't respond to the sort of fire and brimstone.
He's surely one of the best footy brains in the game.
Yeah. Well, I reckon Freo are fascinating. I wish that is it Pope?
Shane Hope, it was.
Hope.
Yeah, who reports for the West Australian.
No, I wish he'd said, well, actually, Hawthorn rebuilt Ross in about 8 weeks.
The Bulldogs.
So Sydney and Geelong, they've never had to go down. They've lost 48 out of 71 games, Fremantle. They had 73 tackles, Geelong, to 61 tackles to the Dockers.
Like,
how do you get out tackled when you lose by 133 points? Mm. Lachie Neal had 11 of those tackles, so you do the maths.
Fife
had two.
Well, he was outstanding.
He was very good. Yep. Average losing margin, 54 points. I know he's got 2 years to go, and if they were going to sack Ross, they would have done it in the sexual harassment storm, and they didn't. But I would have thought Ross and his CEO, Rossich, would have to be under a bit of pressure. Just going by the talkback radio in Perth over the weekend, you can't cop that.
It's interesting that Peter Sumich, who was an adversary of Ross Lyon, so they fell out a year or so ago. He said on radio today that the situation at the footy club is very sad. So he's clearly had a crack, and if you would think that if there was
sad
to be a coaching change, that Peter Sumich would be in the box seat to be the next coach of Fremantle. And interesting that discourse in the background has started.
Mm.
What about the Saints, Lauren? Great. It was, I think Alan Richardson said after the match that it was the first time you had 22 contributors. Do you think it's enough to stave off the inevitable change at the end of the year?
Well, I think there's still going to be change coming. We know that three assistant coaches are already on their way out, so it'll be interesting to see where Simon Lethlean goes with that. He's been open about talking about, you know, drawing a little bit on what Richmond and Collingwood have been able to do, building nice, strong teams around their senior coaches, assistant coach-wise. But, gee, it was better from the Saints, wasn't it? Mm. It was a real, you know, they've had that drop-off in the middle of games. They had Richo called it a real four-quarter performance, and Alistair Clarkson said that the better team lost.
Yes.
So, and that's you know, no small talk from a guy like him. He apparently, from all reports, gave the Hawks one of the all-time sprays at halftime and went and had another go, I think, after the game because he was clearly disappointed with what they dished up and doesn't think they'll go far in September if they deliver what they did against the Saints. But, yeah, it was a real nail-biter. But, as I say, even contribution, Seb Ross had been carrying the can a little bit, racking up 35-plus over the last few weeks. But nice to see Billings, Jack Loney. Jack Steele did a fantastic job on Tom Mitchell.
That's the way to beat Tommy Mitchell.
A great third quarter from him.
A lot of clubs would have watched that.
Yeah, it worked, didn't it? He got off the chain against them last time, so they clearly learnt from that. But, yeah, they'll be looking for a big one, I think, this weekend against, is it North Melbourne? I think the Saints have got next weekend to close out the year.
You mentioned Tommy Mitchell. The Brownlow situation is fascinating. I think we've got in Herald Sun Player of the Year leaderboard, Brody Grundy, only two votes behind him. Dustin Martin is coming.
I wouldn't rule him out.
Brownlow Medal Night's going to be fascinating.
Just with the Saints, I think a lot's going to depend on who becomes the president. Peter Summers is clearly gone. If it's Jim Watts, I think all bets are off. If it's Andrew Bassett, which most people are suggesting, I reckon Richo survives and there's less wholesale change. But there's a bit happening down there at St Kilda. Don't worry about that. Well, the Hawks wouldn't have got over the line, Lauren, if it wasn't for the great Sean Burgoyne, which brings us to your new segment, Clutch.
Yes, definitely got me thinking, sitting there under the roof on Saturday night, Mick, of who are the AFL's most clutch players. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this because watching Silk go about it in that last quarter, I think he finished up with 9 contested possessions and Alistair Clarkson just absolutely lauded him after the game as the most influential player on the entire ground for that last quarter. Held firm, he's just managed to get the Hawks over the line. He's so steady, cool as a cucumber, and I know Buddy launched Sydney to their win earlier in the day. So it was just a day for it. And I guess wanted to get your guys' feedback on who you reckon.
I think that's a good call. I would have thought Pendlebury's right up there as well.
Oh, come on.
Your man.
I know that you're the head of his cheer squad, but I was going to go Pendles. He is clutch. Josh Kennedy's clutch for the Swans. Wouldn't you like to have just been him for one day and played footy the way he does? Mm. Just an inside beast. You can rely on him 24/7.
You weren't doing that for the Pirates, Mick?
Not really, no. No, not quite as influential. What do you think about Dane Zorko post-game?
I reckon he could be... Oh, this is going to be one of those headlines. I reckon he could be the AFL's most sookie player. I see this sort of post-siren behaviour a bit, and there's just a bit of sookiness there. I didn't like it. In fact, I hated what happened, what he did with Tuk Miller. The siren goes, you put your arm on your opponent's shoulder and you say, mate, well played today, and you shake his hand and you move on. You don't swear at him. You don't try and embarrass or belittle him and then, you know,
fake
all the
handshake.
Fake handshakes, all that. Like
good
Dane,
for the rivalry, though, isn't
Dane
it?
Dane Zorko is a brilliant player, right? But this sort of stuff brings him down. Scott Thompson from North Melbourne got caught up in the niggle, which sort of affected his reputation. And Brandon, he changed his game a little bit. I reckon it's time that Zane Zorko did the same thing.
Well, Scott Thompson's not the co-captain of his team either, is he? So I think that sort of... So I think that adds a little layer. But it was a weird week for the rivalry, wasn't it? We had Nick Robertson come out and say that was soft. And, you know, I think... Do you reckon he took one for the team there and just sort of said, oh, I'll say something.
But
it boiled over a few times, though. So, I mean, it's good for the Q Clash, if that's what it's called, isn't it? But I didn't love that from Dane. I agree with you there, Jay. It was, not what I'd be doing.
Petulant, sookie.
Yeah, petulant's
the word. You don't like sookie types.
Now, let's get on to Trade HQ. Let's get on to Trade HQ.
Sidestep.
Where are the likes of Gaff, Tom Lynch, Fasolo, kick 5 in the VFL's been linked to Carlton, Scott Lysette, Menzel, Pollock, Dan Hannanbury. I'll tell you one thing about Dan Hannanbury. If certain top forces get in at St Kilda, that Dan Hannanbury will be overruled. There's a lot of people agitating who would not want to recruit Dan Hannanbury.
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's up to Simon Lefflin. If he needs a scalp, then he'll get him. So I think as long as Simon Lefflin is in St Kilda's driving seat, then he
will get
him.
Which you think he will, though?
I think they're mates, actually. I think I heard Simon say on radio recently that he does have a direct line to Dan Hannanbury, but he was going through Tom Harley.
I think the big story in the trade front is that Andrew Gaff is, this is early, but at the moment, if I had to put my life on it or my kidney on it.
Don't go that extreme.
Well, if I had to put, we'll go with one kidney because you can survive with one. But if we'll go with one kidney, I reckon he lobs at Arden Street next year. I mean, obviously, there's this very serious health issue with his father. He's had the heart scare, a very serious illness there. That combined with the Brayshaw storm and the severity of the the focus he was under there, and the $1.2 million Godfather offer from North Melbourne over six, maybe 7 years, and a difference of $350,000 a year with the offer from West Coast, I think he's in blue and white next year.
Yeah, I don't think you could blame him. I know we saw it with Dane Beams on another Brisbane Dane, but I don't think we can underestimate the personal nature of this sort of thing. I know, you know, Andrew Gaff, he's played in grand finals for West Coast. He obviously bleeds blue and yellow, but it's one of those things, isn't it, that he's just had a shocking month, and I know I'm not defending what he did, because I know a lot of people jumped on us suggesting that, you know, we were trying to paint Andrew Gaff as the victim in that, and there is absolutely no way I'm doing that. But this is really, and it can't be emphasised enough, an incredibly serious situation involving his dad, Paul, that you mentioned there. Jay, this is a serious illness, and who can blame him for wanting to be at home with his family?
What about Scott Lysette? I think you wrote during the week that the Saints...
St Kilda and Port Adelaide are the two. And St Kilda flagged their interest much earlier in the season. So, look, I think the money on offer at St Kilda is very good. But Port Adelaide's desperate for some ruck help with Paddy Ryder potentially on the wane. You know, he's 30, 31, some injury history. So I think he's a big chance to land at St Kilda. That said, if West Coast lose Andrew Gaff, they're going to have a lot more room in the salary cap to keep Lysette. So it's a bit of a fluid situation, that one.
Well, pretty amazing finish to that Adelaide North game with Eddie Betts taking a hanger. North are officially out of it. Pretty gutsy effort from them. But who's going to win? Ben Brown held goalless. I reckon Jack will now win the Coleman. He's two ahead. You've got the Bulldogs next week. I would give the Rising Star. I said it was Stephenson a couple of weeks ago, but if I had to line them all up, I'd take Ed Richards. He is such an exciting prospect.
What?
And I love him. I reckon he's a gun. And I reckon Dusty, now with his three votes on Friday night, might just cause a ball over in the Brownlow as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm two out of three with you there. I agree wholeheartedly on Jack Riewoldt to win the Coleman medal. We saw what his teammates did for him to get him to 10 last week against the Gold Coast Suns, and I reckon they'll be out there to do it for him again against the Bulldogs.
I don't think Jim is going to put up with that.
Oh, I don't know about that. He could he could have Jack Higgins, little snagger, passing him a couple late in the game against the Bulldogs. Dustin Martin, I would not be ruling out for the Brownlow. I know he hasn't quite had the year he had last year, but I don't think we could discount him. But you mentioned him just then, Jaden Stevenson, Collingwood rising star for mine. Jay?
Oh, great. Yeah, I'll be shocked if he doesn't get it.
What about your Coleman and your Brownlow?
Jumping Jack, who plays next week.
Against the Dogs.
The Bulldogs, Aaron Norton, etc. You think he'd be able to sneak into us.
We'll see you next week. We have all the finals calculations ready for you, and we'll see you then.